Shakespeare's birthday has been a strange day for me. It's doubly strange because it's also Shakespeare's death day, the day Shakespeare died. And there can't be many people that I'm interested in who have been born and died on the same day. I wonder if you can think of anybody who died on the same day that they were born. So that's one thing. It's also been a very strange day for me because it's my mother's birthday tomorrow. And I've never really thought until this year that my mother was born the day after Shakespeare. And that would have been a nice thing to have had on my mind. It certainly would have made it easy for me to have remembered when Shakespeare was born. Because I actually haven't forgotten the date of my mother's birthday. So that's another milestone. So there are two reasons why it's been a strange day. And it's also been another part of Shakespeare's birth and death day has been the quite remarkable effort to ensure that Shakespeare is relevant for the future. I assume that's what motivates all the people who have contributed and are contributing and will contribute as the rest of this year goes on to the celebration of Shakespeare. I mean, why celebrate him unless you're intending to keep him relevant for the future, and unless you're intending to, you know, put up resistance to the movement which you might see as the dumbing down of culture, which would say, oh look, let's get rid of Shakespeare because Shakespeare's a bit hard for young people to understand now. And let's, all those obscure words, let's forget about them anyway, and we'll just simplify the language to the point where it'll be easier for people. The truth is, who would it be easier for? Anyway, this isn't going to be a political audioboo. No, I'm going to do something on this walk with my dog, which I think is appropriate for the circumstances that it's now after 11 o'clock at night. Now, I know those of you on the west coast of the United States and out there in Hawaii who are listening in, I think you're all got quite a lot of Shakespeare's birthday to go. So, but to those of you in Australia, you've done it already. So here in Ireland, we've only got a very short period of time left in Shakespeare's day. So I have chosen a sonnet to read to you. I'm going to share a sonnet with you because I was made to read some sonnets and learn them off by heart at school. And the truth is, I suppose, if I hadn't been made to read them and learn them off by heart at school, I wouldn't be reading this one to you. The teacher I had, who I have eulogized in an earlier audioboo, I now realize did a remarkable, extraordinary job, because whatever I actually thought about the difficulty of preparing an answer for Shakespeare on Shakespeare in my exams, he taught me that the exams were kind of, broadly speaking, small beer and irrelevant in comparison with the bigger question, which was, did I not see the beauty in the language? I mean, he was a teacher who, he didn't campaign against the exams, but he behaved as if all the preparation for the exams could be done in about the last few months of a 2-year period, and we would do lots of interesting stuff in the rest of the 2 years. And we would just take it for granted that, and I could see his logic now, you know, that, you know, if you develop a love of the language and an understanding of how it works and an interest and a curiosity for it, the exams aren't going to be a problem, really. It's if you have none of that and you have to cobble together an answer for a question which you don't even empathise with, then you're going to be in some trouble. Now, that's enough, really. Who cares what I think about these things? But here is the man of the moment, and I pause to put the lead of the dog between my two knees so that I can use my fingers to enlarge the image of sonnet number 61 so that I can read it to you underneath. I think I'll stop underneath the lamppost because I have never read this sonnet before, and I'm a great lover of risk when it comes to reading prose and poetry aloud to an audience, to yourself, which is that I believe is wonderful to fear that you might stumble and fall apart. So here goes, Sonnet 61 by William Shakespeare, read by the poet Paul O'Mahony. Is it thy will thy image should keep open my heavy eyelids to the weary night? Dost thou desire my slumbers should be broken, while shadows like to thee do mock my sight? Is it thy spirit that thou sendest from thee so far from home into my deeds to pry, to find out shames and idle hours in me, the scope and tenor of thy jealousy? Oh no, thy love, though much, is not so great. It is my love that keeps mine eye awake, mine own true love that dost my rest defeat. To play the watchman ever for thy sake, for thee watch I, whilst thou dost wake elsewhere from me far off, with others all too near. Wow. Kind of accusatory one, isn't it, really? Kind of has a go. You know, why the hell are you off pissing about and falling in love with other people and not back here at home with me? I'm a reader, not a scholar. I haven't a clue about the context in which this was written. And I'm not taking sides in the argument that this was written to a man or to a woman, or to a boy, for that matter. So I'm not taking any sides. There's a great little website I read that from called Shakespeare Sonnets. Quite good, isn't it, really? Is it thy will thy image should keep open my heavy eyelids to the weary night? I mean, okay, you don't need me to say what I think it means, but it's damn good stuff, isn't it, really? I mean, and, you know, as a kid at school, of course, you know so little of love and jealousy and, you know the words and you see it played out, but you haven't yourself been, you haven't yourself played false. And you haven't yourself been dumped and overlooked and stuff like that. And so when you get to sort of my stage in life and you've had a bit of experience, you know, to fall back on. This young Shakespeare guy really had a bit of insight into what life was really like. But you actually know what he's talking about. You actually know that this is what it's like to be human. You know, and okay, he's got a beautiful melody with which to transport the thoughts and transport the feelings. He's got that gift. You know, they'd say in Ireland he's got the gift of the gab. But essentially, he's the same as anybody else, really. He just happens to not be inhibited about it. He lets it out. That's really what it's all about, Rocky, isn't it? You know, you're a dog. You understand these things. You know what it's like to let it out. You know what it's like to not be able to let it out too, I bet you, because that's also being human. So, if the dog can understand Shakespeare, right, easily enough, you know, and I've got a dog who's, you know, we didn't call him this, but his obvious middle name is Shakespeare, you know, no question about it. I realise that now, he's nearly 2 years old, and all along he's been Shakespeare, really. You know, I haven't written a sonnet to the dog yet, but who knows? Maybe he'd write one to me. So that's it. Look, William Shakespeare, you know, maybe you are alive again today. Maybe there is reincarnation. Maybe you are walking the streets today. Or maybe your spirit has been simply distributed widely, so that anyone who's normal, right? Anyone who's kind of average and has all these range of feelings that William wrote about, you know, just a bog standard person like the rest of us, anyone like that, has you available to them, you know? Maybe Shakespeare is in all of us and just waiting. You know, what is it? The voice that... Anyway, the name that dares not speak itself. We are all Shakespeare now.